I've also keep hearing the TikTok audio where it's like some text to speech, but it's going like, hey, I'm just a little guy. You're gonna punch a little guy on his birthday? Come on, you can't punch a little birthday boy.
I've seen the original post for that.
It's a good one. Erica.
Hi, Lindsay. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing fine. How are you?
That didn't sound fine.
I'm
I'm
doing,
okay.
I saw on Twitter, it's I'm doing pandemic okay. Which
Pandemic
it's
okay.
like,
Okay, that's good.
I'm doing bad, but given the circumstances, I'm doing fine. Oh, would you like to hear a fun story about how I almost ruined a friendship?
I would love to hear a fun story about how you almost ruined a friendship.
Okay, so I, as any good millennial or whatever generation I am, I sent all of my friends TikToks. Is that's like my only form of communication. So I sent one to our good friend. It was very funny, and it was about like it was a guy making fun of other guys' like Tinder profiles, and
Yes.
it. I'll send it to you because it's really good. But it ended with one guy. He was holding a dog. And then the guy who was pretending to be a girl was like, "Oh, like I like your dog, but you don't seem interesting." And then the guy was like, "Oh," he looked at the dog and he goes, "Oh my God, do your job." And very funny, great ending. And I sent that to Michaela while I was at work. And she texted me back like 40 minutes later and she's like, "Do your job." And I forgot that that's how the TikTok ended. So I'm
No.
like, "Is Michaela yelling at me to be at work? Like, does she think these are annoying?" And I'm like freaking out in my head. And I was literally so close to texting her, be like, "You can just tell me you don't want me to send you these anymore. Like, I don't mind not sending you TikToks." And then I rewatched the thing and I was like, "It's fucking how it ends." I'm like, "It has to be a quote from the thing." And it was. And then I texted her. It's like, "I thought you were so mad at me. Like, I thought you were yelling at me. I thought we weren't friends anymore." And she's like, "Oh my God." So that's where my head's at today.
It's in a great place.
But you know what else is great?
What else is great, Lindsay?
I think cryptids are really great.
Wow, you're right.
So, you know how it's always like a little bit awkward to describe what this podcast is about to like our moms and anybody else who asks about it?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's like, I don't know,
You know,
people.
Bigfoot.
Exactly. Like people don't know the word cryptid, so it's always like, like Bigfoot? Yeah, we talk about like Bigfoot.
Oh, so you talk about Bigfoot? No. Not about Bigfoot, about things like Bigfoot.
Not like Bigfoot, but like, you know, that kind of
Littlefoot, Bigfoot.
the that, you know, vibe. But I figured that it was probably time to actually talk about Bigfoot's cousins.
Yay!
So we're gonna talk about his extended family. So I picked like three lesser known, like kind of smaller ones, because I figured we could do full episodes on like the Yeti and the skunk ape and things like that.
I was like, Lindsay, I swear to God, if you're doing the skunk ape and I'm the one who lives in Florida, I will be very upset. But that, okay.
Almost did it, but then there was a different one I found that was really a lot, I don't want to say more interesting than the
You
skunk
can
ape,
say more
but
interesting. It's
more
okay.
interesting than the skunk ape. So we're going to be talking about three regional Sasquatch-like creatures. I'm going to probably pronounce all of these wrong because these are all in languages that are not English. So just going to put
Okay.
it out there. Lots of mispronunciation in
We
this
never say
episode.
anything wrong. I don't know what you're talking about.
I've never been wrong in my entire life.
I know this and I love you.
So we're talking about the Nukluk of the Northwest Territories in Canada, the Yeren of China, and the Amamongo of the Philippines.
Interesting.
Yeah, let's start with the Nukluk.
Love the name.
It's a good name. It is hard to Google this though because Mukluk is, I think, a brand of shoe, but also like something real. So it autocorrects to that, and it does not give me what I'm looking for. But it's
That's
fine.
sad.
I made it work. I'm resourceful.
Did you put the word cryptid afterwards?
Maybe.
The secret to any good Google search.
So the Nukluk, or the man of the bush, it is a hominid creature reported in the National Park Reserve near the Nahanni Butte in the Northwest Territories of Canada. It's described as a Bigfoot-like creature, but less ape-like and more Neanderthal-like in resemblance. The sightings reported it as being 5 feet tall with a long, dark beard, and it didn't wear any clothes. So there's been one...
Wait, you said only 5 feet tall?
Yeah, so he's little.
Short king.
Little. So there has been one confirmed sighting of the Nukluk in June of 1964 near Fort Simpson. Around 9 p.m., a boy reported the creature. He said it had black hair on its head, upper body, and legs, and a head that was slightly pointed in the back. It also had a long beard that reached its waist and wore ankle-high moose-skin boots and a moose-skin loincloth. It carried a stone club in its hand. Apparently, these creatures have been reported for hundreds of years, all the way from the Northwest Territories in Canada to the Yukon to the Kenai Peninsula in Alaska. They're said to have boot-like footprints, so I guess it just means like flat without toes or whatever, mm-hmm. and they have whistling calls. It's also speculated that the Nukluk is responsible for 4 mysterious deaths.
Oh.
I know, of frontiersmen, explorers, and gold prospectors from 1908 to 1945.
Like,
all 4 of the bodies were found beheaded. Awesome. Not awesome for the bodies, but like cool.
Awesome to hear about.
Awesome to hear
if
about.
It's mysterious and not like a deranged serial killer.
Well, so two of the murders, they were brothers, and they were left on the banks of the Nahanni River. And the other two were not related, and they were found burned to death in their sleeping bags after the cabins were burnt to the ground. And they were also beheaded.
Oh.
I know.
That's interesting.
And this is how the Nahanni River Valley got its nickname, the Valley of Headless Men, which... You know,
oh,
tracks.
All 4 were in the same valley.
Yes, all 4 were in the same valley. So 2 of them were found like on the banks of the river. Those were both in 1908. And then the other 2 happened later in the century, but they were both found in ashes of like a cabin. They had been burnt to death, but also beheaded.
Okay, I see you.
Yeah. That is unfortunately all I could find about that. There was one source that looked like it had more, but I also... It was from, like, a fiction writer's blog, so...
Oh, those are always a little sus.
Not that I didn't trust her to write accurate things, but, like, she's a fiction writer, and I can't really check it, so...
Yeah, no, I get that. I've looked at a couple blogs where it's, like, they'll have this actual, like, thing, but they write the facts into a story. I'm like, I don't want you to write the facts into the story. I want you to just tell me the facts about this cryptid.
Yeah. So the next one we're talking about is the Yeren, and there is a lot of stuff about the Yeren.
Heck yeah!
The Yeren is a mysterious primate living in the mountains of China, with most of the sightings coming from the remote Hubei province. So the Yeren has reddish-brown hair and a large jaw, and it stands 6 to 8 feet tall. Generally friendly, but reserved around humans. There have also been reportings of white Yerens, which may either indicate albinism or elderly members of the species. Yeah, so they're big, happy families living in the forests of China.
How fun.
I know. Over 400 people have reported seeing the Yeren, and many footprints and hair traces have been found. However, much like the Yeti or Sasquatch, the species has never been confirmed by scientists and remains in the realm of legend and cryptozoology. Can you tell that I did not write that sentence?
No, of course not.
Despite its size, it is said to be less robust and stocky than its other relatives like the Sasquatch.
Okay.
So there is an extremely interesting New York Times article from 1984 recounting a lot of sightings, like scientific endeavors into the existence of this creature, and all things like that. Obviously, it will be linked in the description. Highly recommend reading it.
Are you not gonna, you're not gonna tell us about it?
I'm gonna tell us about
it. Oh, okay, okay. I'm sorry, the way you said it, I was like, oh, I guess I have to do reading later.
No, I have a lot about it, which is why this one is so interesting to me, because there's a ton of it.
Yay!
So most of the article is kind of an interview with Lee Mingzi, a school teacher from Kangyuan County, who had an encounter with the Yeren. He found himself face-to-face with this, you know, primate in April of 1983 after hearing a village dog barking into the night. He says they stared at each other for 5 minutes before the Yeren escaped back into the dense forest. Another sighting in September of 1981, Fang Jinchuan and 2 other members of a scientific expedition
scientific
said that they saw a wild man before it fled into a bamboo thicket. Various other reports from remote parts of provinces in central and southern China have described a hairy creature 7 feet tall or more, with human features, no tail, and the ability to laugh, weave, and enjoy fire.
Laugh, and then you said weave?
Weave, yeah, like baskets.
Okay.
And enjoy fire, which I think are 3...
I like that.
pretty human attributes. I do
Yeah.
enjoy fire.
Joy, craft, and arson. I like it.
The big three. That's how computers pass a Turing test.
Weave, laugh, arson.
Yes. In 1980, Meng Qingbao, a leader of an expedition, found 1,000 footprints stretching for about a mile in the Shennojiga, Gija, sorry, in that area, in the area that it took place in. He found them in the area he found them in.
Descriptive.
The expedition brought out a plaster cast of the most prominent print, which was more than 18 inches long and showed the largest of five toes splayed outward. An assistant professor of forensic medicine at the Wuhan Medical Institute compared eight hairs that were also found in the same region under a microscope with the hairs of humans, apes, gorillas, goats, and pigs, and found all of them dissimilar to the alleged Yeren hair.
But they didn't check like cats, dogs, etc. Rabbits.
I guess not. I'm assuming this was like the most common, like local wildlife,
Okay.
or like things with the most similar structure to the hair. The texture of the hair was reported to be in the middle between bears or apes and human beings. So I'm guessing there were like dog and cat hair. It does not look like this at all.
Okay.
So what I'm guessing, these are scientists. I trust them.
I don't.
Well,
Kidding. I trust science.
do you want to hear about this thing's poop?
No, but tell me anyway.
Okay. Well, they found it. It was similar to humans, but larger. It contained the
Great.
shells. I know, it contained the shells of chestnuts and the hairs of some small mammals. So it showed that it was not human being because there was hair in it. We don't really eat hair.
That's true.
Yeah.
Not on purpose.
Not on purpose. An analysis of the sample showed that the creature ate wild fruit and small animals. Other indicators of its diet were they found the carcass of a small river deer with the flesh eaten, but not the skin, which I don't exactly know how that works. I'm guessing it looks like he like skinned away part of the deer and just ate the meat.
Probably. It's probably like when you like take off the chicken or the turkey skin after you cook it, or like before it cooks.
But animals don't do that, which I think was the big indicator there.
Oh, well, yes.
And then they also found uneaten heads and feet of cave swallows. Our friend Li Mingzi, he's a, like I said, a science professor, said that other animals would not do that.
Correct, as far as I know.
And then one more thing about his diet. Apparently, a peasant woman in a different part of China said that she had seen a wild man stealing corn from their field, peeling the corn and eating the kernels, but not the cob. Again, Mr. Lee says that's not the way other animals would eat it, and obviously the local people would not eat it raw. So other animals would just eat the whole thing, including the cob, and not peel the corn. But this guy would. So I like all the research going into this man. I hope we find
Yes.
their family. And then leave them alone. I hope we find them and promptly leave them be.
Yes. We find them, we say, they exist, and then we leave.
And then that's it.
Yes.
And then our last pal, this one is not very much of a pal, actually. This one's kind of
Oh,
an enemy.
the foe.
It's a foe. So the Amamongo. So, in my opinion, this one is significantly scarier than the Nuckluck, even though the Nuckluck probably beheaded four people, but that was in like the 40s, so it's not a big deal.
And it was like you said, it's been seen for hundreds of years. So, like, what's four murders in hundreds of years?
But this one hurt someone in 2008 in the Philippines. This creature, the Amamongo, is described as a hairy, man-sized ape with long nails.
Ew.
I know. Some of the other pictures that I saw also depict it with like tusks, and it kind of looked like a skinny orc from like Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
So just yeah, like real toothy with long nails.
That's gross.
It is gross. Residents of La Castellana in Negros Occidental in the Philippines refer to the creature as a wild monkey that lives in caves near the foot of Mount Can Leon. The creature is said to have attacked two residents of the settlement and disemboweled goats and chickens in the area. The attack. Elias Galvez and Salvador Aguilar reported they were separately attacked by a hairy creature with long nails in June of 2008. Salvador showed the authorities the scratches on his face, back, and hands, and he said several of his neighbors also saw the monkey attacking domesticated animals. The residents described the creature to be about 5'4", and he looked like a monkey. While it's clear the two men were attacked by something, the local government reports that it was likely a wild animal driven to attack humans due to hunger.
I mean, maybe, but like, how does that explain the nails?
Exactly. So there was not a ton about this fellow, other than that reported attack. But one article I found said that while like a wild animal is definitely possible, the long nails are what made it seem more unnatural or more like not an animal that we know about, because
Yeah, because like,
wild primates have short fingernails because they bite their nails, apparently.
That's exactly what I was gonna ask. I was like, do they have fingernails?
Monkeys, like, and primates do have fingernails, but I mean, if they're swinging through trees all day, they can't really have long ones because they'll probably break. Yeah. And I didn't know that monkeys bit their fingernails.
Neither did I.
Additionally, La Castellana is located at the foot of that mountain that I mispronounced, which has caves where the creature could live, but primates have not really been known to live around volcanoes, which again doesn't mean that they don't live there, but it'd be a little bit more unlikely.
Okay, so just less likely that it's a monkey.
And yeah.
More likely that it's Bigfoot's cousin.
Yes. More likely that it's Bigfoot's very scary cousin.
Yes.
Those are my three Bigfoot family members that I wanted to talk to you today about.
I didn't know Bigfoot had such a large and diverse family.
There are more, but these are the three that I wanted to talk about and the three that I could find some cool sightings from. So I hope you enjoy. I hope you look up more of Bigfoot's family.
Bigfoot supremacy.
2021.
Hell yeah. Also, that was very good. Thank you, Lindsay.
Thank you. I'm going to say, I have a lot of sources, so I'm going to say them before I forget to say them.
Yes.
So it was obviously the Cryptids Wiki for the Nukluk, the Yeren, and the Amamongo, our friends over there. I also used Secrets of the Nahani, the Valley of Headless Men by Brooke Hess for Outdoor Journal, On the Trail of the Wild Man of China by Christopher S. Wren for the New York Times, Call of the Cryptid, the Amamongo by Wayne Wainio from Fansided, and then Bigfoot's Extended Family, The World of Man-Ape Mythology by Brad Naring for The Climb. Climb spelled with a Y, which is fun.
Oh.
Yeah.
Very nice. Thanks.
Thank you. I figured it was time that we do a longer episode because I feel like we've been doing short ones recently.
You're right. We have been.
Which is not a bad thing because I love a little 15-minute bite, but
we need to get back on track. New year.
We've posted every single week. We're also coming up on our 1 year mark for the podcast.
Oh my God, we are.
I think in like a month.
That's so exciting.
Maybe even less than a month. I don't know. It'll be at some point, but that'll be fun. And I'm excited about it.
It will be really fun. Wow.
Yeah.
You've stuck with this for a long time.
It's crazy. I don't think I've ever done anything for a year.
No.
But Erica, if people want to contact us to congratulate us for doing a year of this, just be nice to us in general, send us money, how do they do that?
Oh, well, I love the idea of sending us money. So my address is
123 Street Street, Anytown, yes. USA. 12345.
Actually, it's Street Road.
Ah, excuse me. That's a real road somewhere.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
yeah,
it sucks.
I know. It's in the town I grew up in.
Yeah.
That they had a street road. Or, if that doesn't work, your other option is move somewhere in the world, stop wearing clothes, grow out all of the hair, all of your body, especially a beard, scare someone unsuspecting, and when you scare them, scream like your message at them, and they'll know to bring it to us.
They will. I also like the sound of moving to somewhere and stopping wearing clothes and not shaving anymore. It's kind of...
Yeah, or I guess, like, just join a nudist colony and stop shaving and stop cutting your hair.
Now I'm just thinking, I think I keep having the fantasy of just removing myself from society. And I used to have that, like, occasionally. It's like an everyday thing now. I would like to move to Scotland. I'd like to move to the fens and moors of Scotland and raise some cows and not talk to anybody ever again.
That's valid.
Yeah.
I want a little cottage with a vegetable and herb garden. Maybe a cat. Lots of natural light for my plants.
It's the little things.
Little things. No neighbors.
Anyway.
If you can't do that, if you don't want to join a nudist colony or move somewhere in the world, you could follow us on Instagram at justmightexist or email us at justmightexistpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, you should do both of those things. And if you know anybody who's, like, selling a cabin for no money, because I don't really have that money.
I will give them all of the money that is in my pockets right now. Plot twist, I'm in leggings. There are no pockets.
I have pockets, but there's nothing in them. But
we'll give you all of the things in our pockets.
If you're just trying to get rid of a house that's not anywhere, let me know.
Even if it's haunted, we don't mind.
Especially if it's haunted.
We could have a third podcast host or more, depending on how many ghosts are in the house.
Exactly. People have been asking for us to have a ghost podcast host.
That's true.
It is true. It's not true. It's true. But Erica.
Lindsay.
I have another question. I mean, we knew we were recording today. What is the cryptid of the week?
I don't know why I didn't think of one today. I knew this was happening. I texted you.
Yeah, you texted
to
me.
To make sure that we were still recording tonight.
Take your time. I got nowhere to be.
Cryptid of the week is the chicken empanada recipe I printed out in like 9th grade in lavender ink and had to make my mom find to send to me today.
You printed it in lavender ink?
It's fine. It's dark enough.
Okay.
That's our cryptid of the week. Take it or leave it.
All right. I mean, it's fine, I guess.